The Federal Reserve takes center stage, but will its act be enough to raise our economic spirits?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. We're just hours away from what is expected to be a big announcement from the Fed, but can the central bank really do much to help the economy at this point? That story coming up. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow up just 5 points at 11,414. The NASDAQ up 0.5%. And the S&P 500 up about 0.1%. And today, markets are focused on the Fed, which wraps up a meeting this afternoon and is expected to announce it's shifting its investments in order to bring down interest rates even further. Josh Brown is with Fusion Analytics. He's with us live from New York. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
So if the Fed does what economists are expecting it's going to do, what does that mean for the economy?
Very little in the short term, possibly nothing in the long term. Basically, what they're talking about engineering is taking their $1.7 trillion portfolio of bonds and shifting it more toward the long end, meaning later dated treasuries. The goal is really to get people to go back out and spend, but I don't think that's really attacking the heart of the problem.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on one group that does not want the Fed to do this. The GOP leadership in Congress sent the Fed a letter yesterday, and it said, quote, "We have serious concerns that further intervention by the Federal Reserve could exacerbate current problems or further harm the U.S. economy." What do you make of that?
Basically, it seems to be a little bit more of an election stunt than it is any kind of serious attempt to communicate with the Fed, because that type of thing doesn't need to be done in a newspaper. I think really what we're looking at here is concerns that they're going to do more to raise prices but not really attack the heart of the problem, which is jobs. So they're basically telling the Fed, do nothing, we'd all be better off.
Well, some are saying that politicizing the Fed is the issue here.
I think that is the issue. While I'm not completely against the language in the statement, just the whole concept of Boehner and his gang sending a letter to the Fed right before a policy meeting, I think is a mistake.
Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, Google's chairman, Eric Schmidt, will be testifying on Capitol Hill today at a sensitive time for Google. The company controls 65% of the web search market here in the U.S., but it's being investigated for possible antitrust violations and uncompetitive practices. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
If you ask Jamie Quart at Consumer Watchdog how he'd like the ongoing federal investigation of Google to play out, he's pretty blunt.
It has to be broken up by the government. Google is bigger than Ma Bell. It's gotten too big.
That outcome is almost unimaginable. But at the very least, today's hearings are a distraction for Google executives. Federal investigators are concerned that Google is using its dominant position in search to direct traffic to its own sites, like Google Maps or Google Places. So if you Google hotels in Los Angeles and hit enter, what pops up is a page full of results from Google Places. You have to scroll down the entire screen before you see any results from competing sites like TripAdvisor. Herbert Hovenkamp is an antitrust expert at the University of Iowa, and he isn't convinced any of this violates antitrust law.
It's very, very easy, costless for customers to switch away from Google if Google is not serving them well.
There are lots of competing search engines out there, from scrappy startups like DuckDuckGo to established players like Yahoo. And the outcome of any government investigation is expected to take years. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
The website allthingsd.com reports this morning that Apple will unveil the much-anticipated iPhone 5 on October 4th. Now, Apple has not confirmed that report, but it's already got a lot of iPhone fans excited. One of them is TJ Rowe, who has been holding on to a partially broken iPhone, scared to buy an iPhone 4, only to find that it's outdated as soon as the iPhone 5 comes out. He joins us now from Grand Island, Nebraska. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, describe the condition of the phone you're using right now.
It's got a nice kind of spiderweb pattern going from the upper right-hand corner down into the middle left side of it.
A big crack in the screen.
Yes.
And how long has it been like that?
It's since Halloween of last year. It kind of slipped out of my hand while dancing and kind of just smashed against the floor.
But you haven't felt it necessary to go out and get a new iPhone?
Well, that was the thing, is that I knew that there would be another one coming out, you know, within a year or so. And so I figured, well, why would I get this one when the next one's going to be that much better, you know?
Well, now we've got the news this morning that All Things Digital is reporting that the new iPhone 5 is going to be unveiled on October 4th. Are you going to be standing in line to get a new one?
I don't know about standing in line, and I don't even know if I'll go and be one of the first ones to get it, because usually when these things come out, like when the iPhone 4 came out, it had antenna issues. So I don't know if I'll be an early adopter. I might wait and see a week or so, but then definitely, like, as soon as I know it's kind of an all clear, then yeah, I'm totally down for that.
TJ Rowe, who is using an iPhone 3G with a big crack on it, thanks so much for joining us, and don't cut your finger.
Definitely won't. Thanks.
And finally, to a new museum that opened up over the weekend in Japan. It's celebrating the history of instant noodles. The museum was opened up by the company that makes cup noodles, which is still run by the family of the inventor of instant noodles, a guy named Momofuku Ando, who came up with the idea to solve hunger problems in Japan after World War II. He used to say, "Peace prevails when food suffices." Instant noodles definitely suffice. There were 95 billion servings consumed around the world last year. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A thumb on the highway is an icon that's all but gone away.
By the time I was 15, I think hitchhikers had pretty much disappeared.
I'm Bob Moon. On the next installment of Freakonomics, where'd all the hitchhikers go? Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.